It's a joy and a real pleasure indeed. Which is that below joy or above joy? Well, let's put them both together. All right. Anyway, I'm glad to be with you today here on the Just Jesus Network. Now, it is radio, of course, but okay. Just Jesus Network. That's fine with me. It works for me. I pray it works for you. Fine station it is. Listen to all the great old-time gospel and some of the new stuff, too. And hear, not including myself now, but famous preachers from days gone by and new ones, too, bringing you the Word of God. Oh, yes. Look, I could just lay there all day on top of my bed and listen to it. Tale after tale. Well, not really tales, are they? Truth after truth when they come from Word of God. Oh, yes, indeed. Anyway, I've got a really exciting message for you today, and I hope you'll stay with me. All right? Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, I said I hope, right? Actually, I pray you stay with me. So let's open with a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, I give thee praise and thanks. Praise because of who you are. Well, thanks because of who I have become because of who you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the great sacrifice you have afforded unto me and to all who will believe in the finished work of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for sinners like you and me on Calvary's cross. In his holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, are you set? Here we go. Ooh, off and running. You know, a person once asked me, if God loves us so much, then why do we suffer? Well, I'm sure God the Father loved his Son a lot, and look at the suffering he went through. Huh? Think about that one next time you're not feeling too great. God does love you. Even if you're not saved, God loves you. He loves, well, you know the old saying. He loves you, but he hates the sin, right? Sure. Oh, wow. Well, we will explore and answer that very question inside of the next 30 minutes, if you'll stay with me. But, you know, I've given my message a title that you might want to snicker at, or you might want to say, what in the world's he up to now? I'll tell you, that Tom Bonvie, he comes up with the most ridiculous stuff. But, you know, that's fine. I don't mind. Have all the fun you want with me. I don't mind at all, as long as you are getting the word that goes through me to you from God. Because that's my intention every week on this network right here, Just Jesus. Every week, to bring forth a message that will grip your heart. A message that will help you to feel blessed and glad you're a Christian. And if you're not, well, that you will make that decision very quickly. Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, here's the title I give my message. Are you ready for this? It's called A Wart on a Log. Yeah, you were right. A wart on a log. Well, where can you go from here with that kind of a topic? Right? You know, a friend of mine, a fairly close friend of mine, I'd say, indeed. He said to me one day, and this is a strange thing, I've never heard this asked of me before. He said, is God a sadist? What? Is God a sadist? Why would such a question even be asked? Is God a sadist when it concerns a holy and righteous God? Well, it seems that a lot of folks want to know why God is so cruel. Oh, when he brings such wrath upon his creation. I mean, would it not have been more godly to simply allow us to destroy ourselves, self-destruct? Well, firstly, God is beyond, get this now, God is beyond man's comprehension. Secondly, God is holy. Holy. God is also righteous. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But, if He, God our Creator, if He is omniscient as He is, and knows of all our pending suffering, that would occur then, maybe we ask the same question. Is God a sadist? I hate to repeat it. Is God a sadist? Oh my. How can we even think such a thing? How dare we think such a thing? Let me say this right at the outset. Our finite minds are not capable of taking God to the couch. No, we're not. No, for sure. Did God have a plan? Did He? Oh, of course. Yes, of course. God always has a plan. Always. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow, like He knows what already happened yesterday. Now, we know what happened yesterday, most of us anyway, but we don't know for sure what's going to take place tomorrow, do we? Look around you now. Just take a look around. Every living thing, from the snake in the grass to the moon and the stars above, they were all made and set in place by the creative hand of Almighty God. The universe and everything in it is part of God's creation. It's part of God's creation. It'll take many visions to even scratch the surface of God's creation. To even scratch the surface. So you say, well, that's all fine and dandy, but why? And I get this asked a lot. Why all the suffering? If God really loves us, why does He let us suffer so? Why doesn't He just do it now? Take us home, away from this terrible world we're living in. And that's a good question. Why all the pain and misery? Well, could He not, or would He not, create a world of peace and joy, and eternal euphoria? Why not? Why? Well, God had intended it to be that way. And now, I'm not going to get into God's head, because God knows what He's doing, more so than I do, for sure. Well, so why? Why create a world of peace and joy, and let it turn into what it is today? Because God gave us free will is one reason. He wants us to be home with Him when we pass from this life. But He also gave us free will that we have to make that decision on our own. You understand? We have to make the decision on our own. We can't just look at God's word and say, well, I'm going to heaven, God says so. You got to get the ifs completed in there. If we but believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the big one. If. You see, God, unlike man, had a plan. He had a plan. Because He, God, is omniscient. He means He knows everything. God is also omnipotent. And He's also omnipresent. Hey? He's everywhere. There are times I wish I could be everywhere, but there are times I'm glad I'm not, too. God, actually, He is to be praised. He's to be praised now for His handiwork. God cannot be criticized or judged, for He is. He is the Creator, the Designer, and the cornerstone of all that was, all that is, and all that ever shall be. You know, if we could stop right there and accept all that He is by faith alone, then this would suffice, would it not? But we can't. We're always looking beyond, looking, searching, wanting more of this and that, and wondering why there's pain and suffering, and what did I do wrong? How did I offend God? If there is a God? Huh? Well, you see, that's the way God made us. That we might have free will. Free will. That we might explore His great dominion and tend His creation. You see, God saw. He saw everything He made, and it was good. It was good. God unleashed the powers of His might. The one thing God could not create, are you waiting? Is evil. Evil. God did not create evil. Why? Because it's against His nature. Now, some things we call evil may not be evil in the eyes of God. He doesn't want evil to encompass us. He doesn't want evil to be behind every door we open. He doesn't want evil at all. Why do you think He kicked Satan out of heaven? Because He doesn't want evil in His company. God unleashed the powers of His might. The one thing God could not create is evil. I might be here turning things around a bit, but God did not create evil. He did not. All right? God is against, it's against His nature. Where then did disease come from, if God is all good? Disease is an affliction of the flesh, which God allows to get man's attention. Have you got that? He allows disease, sickness, to come upon man, so He can get your attention. Now, if you're on your dying bed, suffering from, say, cancer, and I had 2 bouts with cancer, and both gave them over to God, and He healed me from both of them. But if you're lying on your dying bed now, and you're saying, I got cancer, now if God is so good, why did He give me cancer? He didn't give it to you, He let you have it. Okay? God's not willing that any should perish, that any should suffer even. No, God loves us. God loves us. He allows things to happen to get our attention. Because when you are suffering, you hear a lot of people say, oh, God, I wish God would help me. Whereas in their regular lifestyle, where there's no pain or suffering, they're just using different words that don't even pertain to God. They're not talking about God's greatness. No. All they're talking about is, oh, well, I hope I feel better tomorrow. What about, I hope God will make me better by tomorrow? How's that one? I don't have much food in the house today. I hope I'll have more tomorrow. What hope is that? That's an empty hope. Why not say, I pray God will supply us with all our needs, and believe it, and believe it, believe it. Disease is an affliction of the flesh, which God allows. God allows. But God didn't just leave us in the lurch. No. With affliction, He also gave us a way of escape. Gave us a way of escape. How about that, huh? Oh. And He allowed mankind to find and administer cures. You know, like penicillin. Through various plant life. Along with a proper diet of prayer and believing in Him. That's important, the last phrase. Believing in Him. Oh, yes, you can thank the doctor and say, thanks, Doc, that really helped me. I'm so glad you were here. But don't forget to thank God, eh? Who gave the medication to the doctor that made you feel better? In the beginning, it came through God's foreknowledge. Okay? God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All. Not just a few, all. In Philippians 4, verse 6, we read, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanks, given, that's one word, I guess, thanks given, let your requests be made known unto God. God did not make us invulnerable. No, He didn't. We're not perfect. And we won't be until we get home to glory. He made us that we should worship. We should worship and glorify His holy name. He made us that we should need Him in all things. Need Him. Have you got that? And this can only be done by forsaking self-indulgence, which actually pertain to evil ways. And giving Him much praise. Don't forget, praise the Lord when you go to bed at night. You just say your goodnight prayer. Praise be unto God. Took me through this day. Help me in every way. How great is that? Recently, while conversing with a brother in the faith, who was somewhat prone to spiritual weaknesses, I'm sorry to say. Well, I guess we all are at times. Well, he confided in me and he said, I know I'm saved. Bro? You ever hear somebody say bro instead of brother? He said, I know I'm saved, bro. Because I believe in the cross and what happened at Calvary. But I just don't see any worth in my spiritual life. I'm like a, and this is where the title of my message is, I'm like a wart on a log. A wart on a log. The log my friend was referring to has a lot of warts on it, let me tell you that. Oh, yes. How many of us in the Lord's army are warts on that same log? Huh? If I myself hadn't been a wart on that same log, I surely would not fully understand my dilemma. I would not understand. You see, there's a lot of warts on a lot of logs out there. We got there through desperation. Desperation and a great need to feel loved. To feel loved. Oh yes, we did. Now, here's my recipe for each one of us warts. Are you listening, fellow warts? Alright, here we go. First of all, don't try to cover your wart. Don't put any cream on it. Don't put a Band-Aid over it. Don't put your sleeve over it. Let it shine. It shows your vulnerability. Okay? Don't hide it. Hiding it will only hinder you more. You see, that's what people try to do with their sins. Covet them, or cover them. Hide them from the public. But most of all, try to hide them from God. You can't do that. If you feel confident about your salvation, if you feel you've repented and believed, in a heart-driven profession, okay? There ain't a wart in existence that can keep you out of heaven. Not a wart in existence. You see, giving yourself over to Jesus Christ, believing that He suffered and bled and died for your sins, is the complete recipe for instantaneous and eternal salvation. It is. It is indeed. To grow spiritually in the things of God, well, that'll take a lifetime. A lifetime. Commitment. Commitment is the key word here. Commitment. You see, God looks upon the heart. He looks upon the heart. Number two. Salvation is of the Lord. You got that? Salvation is of the Lord. If you're waiting for a parade of angels carrying sparklers to parade about you, chances are it will never occur. Why not? Why not, you may ask? Well, once you have committed your life to Christ, a very exciting but real occurrence takes place. The Holy Spirit of God enters within and becomes your, with all due respect, your direction finder. Your direction finder. In other words, He strengthens you when you are weak. He directs your ways when you feel lost. And He acts as an invisible barrier when the world tries to reclaim you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Have you got that? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And number three, the final one. He, the Holy Spirit of God, empowers you to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ that others may know of the great salvation that awaits all. I say all who will come to Him. This, my friends, is your most important task as a born-again Christian, to tell others, to give the gospel to others, to pray for others. Is it a full-time paying job? No, doesn't pay much. But as someone once coined, you know, the dividends are out of this world. All right? The earthly benefits may seem minimal, but the rewards are out of this world. Totally. So, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? The role of discipleship is always, always looking for new recruits. New recruits. You know what? I've been saved for a lot of years. But you know, the thing is, if you're not in constant contact with God, you might want to re-examine yourself. You know, when things get a little bit rough or tough, and the road is a little bit rocky, as they say, look inside yourself and say, have I been praying as much as I should? Have I been in contact with my God? I better examine myself. You just may not. You may be playing hooky, spiritual hooky. Okay? I pray this is not the way it is with you. You know, I very much believe, and I've said this over and over, and I cannot say it enough. And if somebody asked me what my favorite Bible quote was, aside from, you know, the salvation, I would say, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. I pray every day, whether I feel like it or not, because I feel the moving of the Holy Spirit within me. Hey, you haven't talked to God the Father for a little bit. Don't you think you better get on track here again? I mean, He's helping you, isn't He? You were feeling lousy yesterday. Oh, and you were begging Him. Take away your feeling. Restore you. But you're feeling better today, right? So, you're not as close to God today as you were yesterday, right? Think about this, folks. Think about it. Whether you're feeling good or bad, be on a constant level with God when it comes to prayer. Praise Him when you're good. And plead with Him when you're not feeling good. He listens to both sides. And God loves you so much. So much. Don't just be another wart on the proverbial log. No. Be an inspiration for others that they may see Christ in you. Would you do that? It makes a difference when all your days are filled with prayer. Everything, in everything, give thanks. Okay. I want to thank you for listening, and I pray you will join me again next week right here on the Just Jesus Network. Oh, I love just giving out the gospel. Yes, I do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And again, amen.